I'm certainly glad to have the opportunity to introduce our speaker this evening, though I don't think he really needs an introduction. I'm thankful for our brother Jose. I'm thankful for the effort he puts into his work. I'm interested to see how this PowerPoint's going to go. I know the struggles with that. Myself, I have. And I know he's come prepared, and I'd ask that you give him your careful and your prayerful attention and try and open your heart and mind to the words he has for us this evening. Jose?
Amen. I'd like to begin with welcome to every single one of you to the Church of the Lord this night. And like Brother Andy says, I'm not very good at this technology, but I'm trusting in God this night that He will guide me and the things that I should say, and He will guide me in my thoughts. And it's been a while that I haven't been up here. And I said other times, I will always be nervous, and I feel like I'm melting down up here, even though it is half full. But we have a theme that we use in my work. Everybody is important. A guest or a coworker, we treat them like a guest, always. I don't know why this thing keeps slipping. Okay, and it's... There's nothing up there. Okay, how... A blue button? Now my computer is acting. Oh, here it is. That's my picture right there. It's not coming out yet. Oh, no. I might have to call Brother Stephen to come and help me with this. Hopefully. There's no picture. It's totally blank. It's almost like my brain right now. Okay. I don't know. I don't see anything.
Is there a picture on your computer screen?
No, there's no picture on my computer screen either. All right, let's do this again. I should have tried it before I... let's see one more time. That's my picture right there. All right, can you see it? Yeah. All right, but I don't know. It's, like I said, it's blank. I don't know what really happened. Oh, there it is.
Look at that.
Oh.
I didn't mean to do that.
There you go. There you go. Thank you. Thank you so much. All right. Today, you know, as I've been coming to church, the theme is almost the same, but it's in many different ways. What God wants us from us. He is leading us like a shepherd, like he says, he is the good shepherd, we are the sheep. We should listen to him because he's always right. But you know, before I know the truth, as I start coming to the church, I never knew what exactly was what was my purpose in this life, or where I was going, or what is after life, you know, and. Every time you open your scriptures, it's about how, you know, to ignore everything that surrounds us. Ignore what's surrounding us. But, you know, we don't see what's behind our veil. God always, you know, every time we open our scriptures, every time we come here to the church, it's to remind us about what is coming, you know. That is a better life than what we have right now. We might think that we have everything we need and make us happy, and yes, we are happy, but it's not going to last. It's not going to last. It's not forever. And so, you know, the other day I was reading I believe it's in chapter 2 or 3 where it talks about Lehi's dream that he had, and really brought my attention about the tree of life, of the tree of life. And where is it, you know? We might know, we might get an idea, and I might not even have it right myself, but we have, I don't know, over 75 years to get it right and to keep trying and to keep practicing, to keep reading, so we know exactly what does it mean and what God wants of us. So I ask you guys to pray for me at this time, and so I'm able to bring this to you. And it's my second time that I do this PowerPoint. I'm not very good at it. And I hope I make a point in this sermon. And if you guys want to follow, that would be great. But I'm going to do a lot of reading, and I'm just going to go right through the, you know, sites. I'm gonna go not too fast like Brother Adam, but just a little bit fast. And today, it's a different theme today. Just for us to think a little bit about what is up there for us. What is our reward that God has promised us in this? Like I said, we have no idea, but I know it's better than what we have. You know, last week, our brother Aaron showed us something that stayed in my head and my mind for a while. It kind of ruined my dinner. It was gross. That cricket, it was gross, especially those things. But yeah, that's how sin it is. And we need to understand that, really. Nothing they have in sin is not going to inherit the kingdom of God. So we need to think about that a little bit. And so I hope this kind of explains a little bit more, and our faith increase as we get to know that God is here for you, is here for you and I, and He loves us, you know. From the beginning, there was no commandment, but He dared to our forefathers, Adam and Eve, not to touch of one tree. He told them, you can eat of all the trees that are in the garden, but don't touch this tree. Don't even look at it or eat it, or you will die. I think they, human ways, if you tell a kid not to do something, that's exactly what he's going to do. He's going to go do what you just told him not to do. And I think that's still, we're still doing that until now. We come here and we hear the word, but that it stays in your mind, do you put it to work in your life? Every day that you go to work, I like to mention again our brother Aaron, in one of his sermons, he said, you know, sometimes you want to like engrave it in your forehead, in your mind, and say, you know, listen, but he made a funny face. I'm not going to make that funny face, but listen, you know, we need to listen. God always knows the best for us. He knows the best. He knows what's up there for you. If we listen, we will not run into that problem. So we're going to begin with Genesis chapter 2. We're going to read chapter 2. And it says, "Then out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. And the tree alive also in the midst of the garden. And the tree alive, and the tree acknowledged, I'm sorry, of good and evil." You know, some people think that the tree alive and the tree of good and evil is the same tree. That it's just one tree. But I don't know for sure if it's only one or there's two trees that used to be there. In Genesis 3:24, explains a little bit about what happened after they did what they did. And so he drove them out, the men, and he placed in the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree alive. And the Book of Mormon and one of the scriptures there is explained to us the, you know, God, from the beginning, He had this plan, you know. He didn't have the plan for them to eat out of the tree of the knowledge and commit a sin. But there broke His rule. He broke the rule. And so He has to kick them out. You know, He has to keep them out. So, because in the Book of Mormon says that if they were to go back, nothing would have changed. It would have stayed, everything would have stayed the same, boring, and there would have been no purpose for each of us, so there would have been none of us. So, what it happened, and only God knows His purpose. So we move on. Did I click it twice? No. All right. Many these days, you think you have everything. And money make us forget about those things that we need to do. Money, it can change you. It can be handy. You know, these days a lot of churches preach a lot about how to be wealthy, and that's what God wants us to do. And as you can see, there's a lot of mega churches up there. And it sounds bad, and I want to say it, but you know, it's just about business. In Matthew, we're going to read in Matthew 19, 18 to 26. It talks about this rich man who he thought that he had everything. And he did not need the gospel of Jesus Christ. In 19:18, he told him, he said unto him, which Jesus does show, I'm sorry, he said unto him, which Jesus said, thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, and thou shalt not bear false witnesses. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as yourself. The young man said to him, all these things I have kept from my youth and up. What lack I yet? Jesus said to him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give it to the poor. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. And come and follow me. Yeah, that's pretty hard. How many people we have invited and they don't want to change them, they don't want to make the change in their life? It's hard to follow Christ. It's hard to follow him. I didn't have to sell much myself, but I had to make a commandment that I will follow him forever. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then Jesus said to his disciples, verily I say unto you that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than for a rich man enter into the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard this, were exceedingly amazed, saying, who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Isn't that that true? With God, everything is possible. But with this materialism that we have, with this around us, we think we don't need anything. But he said, you know, you don't have any idea that you are naked. You have nothing. When the time comes that you're going to meet me, you should wash your eyes with, I didn't even know what that thing is, but must be pretty strong. So you can see yourself, that what you have is not what you need to be in my house. I'm speaking boldly here. I have very small education. I speak in the way I see things. So unlimited in my words. And Luke 1:18 to 20. And Zacharias saying to the angel when he went into the temple. This is an example that I'm reading here. That with God, if you trust in God, everything is possible. I'm reading examples that we see in the Bible here and there. Even Zacharias, because he was old, he didn't believe to the angel that his prayers, God heard them, and he's going to have a baby. He's going to have a kid. But he's like, I'm too old, and she's too old. You know, how's that going to happen? We're going to read. Zacharias saying to the angel, whereby shall know this? For I am an old man, and my wife was striking in years. That sounds to me like she's very old. You know, how is it she's going to have a kid at this age? I think if I talk to my wife, I'll get a slap in the face. But And the angel answered and said to him, I am Gabriel, that is standing in the presence of God, and I am sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these glad things. And behold, thou shalt be dumb for not believe in me, for not listen to what I'm telling you. Is anything too hard for the Lord? No. Nothing is hard for the Lord. If we trust the Lord, nothing will be hard. He will warn us of those things. He has warned us. He has warned our apostles, our missionaries. He has warned them not to go there. Don't step there. But sometimes instead of follow that little voice, we listen to some other voice. And we do what we want to do. We are full of choices. In Acts 18:14 talks about this guy who wanted to buy the power of God with his money. He thought he can do anything because he was very wealthy, I believe, I don't know. But he wanted to buy this power that he saw that the apostles were able to give the Holy Ghost to those who were accepting Christ. Once again, it's another example. Now, when the apostles which were in Jerusalem heard that Samaria received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they may receive the Holy Ghost, for as yet he was fallen upon none of them. Only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So baptizing ourselves in the Lord in the name of Jesus is not enough. You have to receive that special gift that he has promised to us, to each of us. Then they laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw that through laying of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money. We can fall really deep into trouble. You know, we come to church to purify ourselves. We want to be purified and to leave those things outside. And when we come here, we come to hear his word. His word that is this promise us that we will be in a better place where money will be not worthy. You can take it with you anyway. Saying, give me also this power whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Maybe his intentions were good. Maybe he wanted to do the right thing since he was already preaching without even being called. And I believe that what is next, he actually pray to them, to pray to God for him so he might be forgiven for what he has done there. Maybe he got a good intention, but that's not how it goes. That's not how it goes. And money is not going to save you. Money is not going to do, it's not going to provide with those things. So I ask myself this question. You know, we read in Matthew that it said how can we save? You know, if a rich man cannot be saved, what are the things that we need to do? The scriptures, the Book of Mormon and the Bible are full of guidance for us to follow. And we need to do the best that we can read those things so we have a really good relationship with God. In Moroni 10:31, it says, "And now I bid unto all farewell, then I soon go to rest in the paradise of God, and to my spirit and body shall again reunite, and I am brought forth triumphant throughout the air to meet you before the pleasant bar of the great Jehovah, the eternal judge, above quick and dead." Amen. This is what? Even before Christ. But somehow, our prophets in the Book of Mormon know about him already. The great Jehovah. He knew already that we're going to go down to the ground and sleep for whatever time, but one day I'll be brought up again. Christ said, "If you believe in me, you will live again." We need to think about that and engrave it in our minds and our hearts that if we believe in Christ, we will be resurrected as he was. We cannot ignore that. In Enos 1:45, "I soon go to the place of my rest, which is with my Redeemer, for I know that in him I shall rest." Who is my Redeemer? You know? My Redeemer is my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In Isaiah 44:24, how can we go to paradise? We're still on this thing. Topic. In Isaiah 44:24, "Thus says the Lord, thy Redeemer, and he that formed thee from the womb, I am the Lord, that I make all things, that stretch forth the heavens alone, that spread abroad the earth by myself." And Isaiah 48:17, "Thus say the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou should go." He teaches the way. This is Isaiah. This is the Old Testament. You know, the Old Testament is full of those promises that one day we will be in paradise. But they also, you know, there's a lot of war and killing and all that stuff. Like from the beginning, you know, in Genesis 28, Jacob and Esau almost fighting each other, you know, fighting for the first right. I mean, this, but there, if you read, you find a lot of scriptures that will remind you about those things to come. Not in so much like the New Testament. All right. I don't know if you guys remember this. Well, not these pictures. I was going to say not these pictures. But one time, I mean, Brother Stephen talked about being at the airport, and he saw this airplane coming, landing. I was going to use a Spanish word, aterrizando, landing. And he saw they were spraying water over it, and that brought my attention too. I want to know what does that mean? What does that mean? And he kind of explained a little bit that day. And it is true, you know, when these pilots retirement and they do the last They're doing the last fly and the landing, and after that, you know, I said they retire. So they spray them with water, like, that's it. You went, you did it. You finished, you race. You know, this guy right here, it says with 21 years flying with Southwest. This is an information, okay, that I got from the line. Co-workers, friends, and a bunch of fellow workers, they congratulate him as he walks into the airport. All these people are happy for him because he made it. You know, isn't that what we are? That's our goal. As we know, a lot of our brothers and sisters have already gone before us, and we are going to follow them. This is scary. This is scary. But if we trust in God, we'll be okay. He has conquered there, so it shall be not painful. But that would be pretty cool for us. I have this really book that I have called the Progress of the Pilgrim. I don't know if you guys have heard about that book, The Progress of the Pilgrim. It's one of my favorite books because if you read it, you get to know this guy. He's in jail, and he has this dream. He has this dream. God is talking to him in jail, like he dared talk to. He worked on a lot of apostles in the Bible times. When we are in a hard time, having not a really good time, you're in big trouble, that's when God gets close to you and say, hey, I'm here. I'm right next to you. Trust me. Trust me. If we are listening and obey God, we have the promise to partake of the tree of life. You can see in this picture, here in this book, the pilgrim arrives to the bright shore of the shining sea. There is, in this book, there's a river that separates before he ends his race. But before he entered the city, the holy city, angels come to him, ask him, you need to go across the river for you to enter the city. But that river is not easy to go across. You cannot go over a bridge, or you cannot take a boat. That would be taking the easy way. And our life is not easy. Our life is hard. And we have to go through it. We cannot take shortcuts. We cannot take shortcuts. We have to obey the commandments. We have to obey God and keep on going in the straight and narrow path. We cannot take shortcuts. So in this book, if you read it, at the end, he does make it. But he, in between the river and the shore, he is sinking. He is sinking, even where it's not so deep. But how much problems in our life bring us down. Even though we are in the path, we are walking with God, you get sick, and maybe you forget a little bit, and you go down. You go downhill. Worries, it's a sin. It's a sin. You worry, you start worrying, and all kinds of problems Even they maybe that's not what's gonna happen, but you already thinking the worst, worry will flare up all kinds of problems. And that is from the devil. That's not from God. And that's why it says in Corinthians that we are having a war, a spiritual war of every day. And we will sink. But if you call upon the name of Jesus, he will stretch out your hand just like he stretched it to Peter, and he helped him out. I don't know about you guys, but that brings me joy. That brings me joy. He's right there next to you. Just call upon his name, and he will answer you. My computer got freeze, I believe. I don't know. Okay. We're going to go to John. I'm going to have to use my Bible. We're going to read in John 10:1. Book of John, chapter 10. You see, you can never trust these things. They fail you. In John 10 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that enter not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up in some other way, the same is a thief and a robber." We cannot take the shortcut, as I was showing you guys here. There is a lot of ways they will take us. They will take us down. But trusting in the Lord, he will guide us. He will guide us and direct us in all our thoughts. And without this thing, I cannot explain what I'm trying to. Present what? Okay. Yes. Well, I'm sorry about that. Okay. You guys can see the rest of this window, but I don't know what went wrong with that thing. We can see these guys trying to jump over the wall. As I just read in John 10, 1, that is not the right thing to do. That's not the right thing to do. So how can we, how can we make it? If you can't take the shortcuts. Like I said, the Old Testament, if you read it, you will find things even from the Old Testament. They will show you how to go to the eternal life. Sorry about that. Let me see if I can. All right. All right, so that's the Old Testament say much about to inherit eternal life. I'm sorry, let me take a drink here. In Job 19, chapter 19, 25. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and they shall, and he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And that after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh I shall see God. That is another promise that you can see that even from the Old Testament. It let us know, it's telling us that there is a salvation. And Isaiah 26:19, the dead men shall live together with my dead body, shall they arise. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in dust, for they do as the dew of earth, and the earth shall cast out the dead. Just read this really quick, the simple. And Daniel 12:1, it's full of those really good promises. It will lift you up, and no matter what you're going through. You know, there is a promise, and we cannot forget that. We keep hearing it over and over. And Daniel 12:1, people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found writing in the book. Not just everybody will be able, but only those that are writing in the book. We cannot take shortcuts. And many of them, the sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, and some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. There's two, and you make that choice. To be with God and his kingdom, or to be in hell forever and ever. You make that choice. It's telling us right there. Genesis 5:24, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. God took him, and he will take you too. He will take me if we obey and we stay with him and we follow him. He will take you. Lehi's dream. This is what brought my interest in this theme about the book of life. what he saw in his dream. I believe that in his dream, he saw his life, his whole life, and he was wishing for his family to follow him, because he knew what was up there. 1 Nephi 2:41. And it came to pass that while my father tarried in the wilderness, he speaking to us, saying, behold, I have dreamed a dream, or in other words, I have seen a vision. And behold, because of the thing which I have seen, I have reasons to rejoice in the Lord because of Nephi, and also of Sam. And for I have a reason to suppose that they also, and also many of their seed will be saved. For before Laman and Lemuel I fear exceedingly because of you, for behold, meant that I saw in my dream a dark and dreary wilderness. And it came to pass that I saw a man, and he was dressed in a white robe, and he came and stood before me. And it came to pass that he spake unto me and bade me to follow him. And it came to pass that as I followed him, and after that I have followed him, I beheld myself that I was in a dark and dreary waste. This is the world we live in. You know, we are following in Christ, but we run into these things that they will bring you out of the path. This world is dark. It's dark and dreary It's waste. You know, in the book of Ecclesiastes, it told us that nothing has value. Everything is vanity. And after that, I had trouble for the space of many hours in darkness. I began to pray unto the Lord that he will have mercy on me according to the multitude of his tender mercies. You know you have messed up, but he has mercy to forgive you whatever you have done, even after you have followed him and you know about him, but you forgive about him for whatever reason. He's still waiting for you to come back. A lot of our brothers and sisters here, there's so many, they have made the decision to walk away, but I believe that God is still has his arms open to receive them back. And it came to pass that after I had prayed to the Lord, I beheld a large and spacious field, and it came to pass that I beheld a tree whose fruits was desirable to make one happy. We can see in this picture, and I know you guys are very familiar with this picture about the tree of life, the iron, the raw iron that people are grabbing into. But on the right, you see people that are like, one of them goes another way. And I believe Lehi is one of those four white robed people standing over there waiting by the tree. And this is what he's trying to say, that the tree had this fruit that was so desirable. There was the most pure, white, and sweet fruit that he ever had. And I believe that he's trying to tell us in this dream that our life is not that really that long. It's really short. It's really short. But what's ahead of us is forever. It has no end. It has no end. So in his dream, he's telling us we have to make it to that tree and partake of his fruit. But we have our life to work on that way. And it's a long way, yes. But if we stand and fast into the end, we will partake of the fruit. I believe that in the beginning, he put his... He kicked Adam and Eve out and put all this to protect the tree. You know, you had it in your hands. You had it. And you did not. You did not obey what I told you. So now you have to work. You have to work through your life if you want to partake of this fruit of life, of this tree of life. So to me, his dream is your life, my life, and we're still working on it. We're still working on it. We have a long way to go. So what is the meaning of the tree? Nephi speaks of his vision, his son. First Nephi 3:47 is saying, came to pass that after that I had seen the tree, I say unto the spirit, I behold that thou hast shown to me the tree which is the most precious above all. And he said unto me, what desirest thou? And I said unto him, to know the interpretation thereof. We skip to 62, and it says, and the angel said unto me, behold, the Lamb of God, yea, even the Son of the Eternal Father. Knowest thou the meaning of the tree which is thy father saw? That is a question. Do you know that? The meanings of the tree. The tree of life is the pure love of God for his children and his gift of Jesus Christ. We can read that in John 3:16. The God loved this world that he gave his only and begotten Son, even though we don't deserve it. I don't feel like I deserve it. Right here, Brother Don is very familiar with this, and I'm just going to bring it big just to see if. Okay. Let me see. Give it a try, but it didn't work. I don't know if you can read there. But this is, I read a little bit about this Stella. That's what they call it, this rock, Stella 5. I believe that in that area in Tapachula, Mexico, they were found there by this archaeologist, and his name was Alberto Ruiz. They was discovered in 1952, I believe, so it's been like 70 years. This rock, it represents a little bit about the tree of life. You know, and it says, and I don't know if you can see the four percentage there, and actually there's a 5%. Dos, cuatro, seis. Oh, there's more. It's full of information. Basically, all the dream of Lehi that he had is all in that rock. It's very interesting. I was reading so much. It's so much to say and so much to study about the Stella. That's what they call it, Stella. They were found like 80, I believe, 80 Stellas, but Stella number 5 is the one that has brought more attention to the Aldeas archaeologists. They believe, and there is a lot of contradicted, because you know, in Exodus, God told us, you know, not to make us any items or engravings or anything like that. So a lot of people, they have like, they don't agree with what it says in there. But you know, I read another passage in online that it says that this, 250 years before Christ, it was a gift that was made by the family to the parents, to Lehi. It was a gift. But right here it says, you know, it says, see if I can read this. A is Saria, the wife of Lehi, that is in the on the left. All right? And Lehi is right in front of her. And Laman is right by the tree with his back against the tree. In the middle is the tree of life, which is Christ. It says right there. And the other side, Laman is right next to the tree with his back against the tree. And Nephi is right next to Laman, and Sam is right behind Lehi. So the dream, Lehi dream, and in these days, what is engraved in that rock is what he saw in his dream. Laman and Lemuel, they're giving in the back to the tree because they didn't want to believe it. We have read in the Book of Mormon that they didn't follow Christ. That's why Lehi was feared for them, because he knew what was going to happen to them. They went a different way. They didn't follow Christ, and that's not what we want to do. The Popol Vuh talks a little bit about the birth of the earth and man and everything that was created. If you watch those videos on YouTube, you can see kind of crazy. But here and there, if you pay a really good attention, you will catch something, and you will understand that what the Bible says, how it was from the beginning, is true. So how does the day brought these ideas from, you know, from Jerusalem, when they ran away, when God told them, you need to get out of here. If they believe, and they brought this all the way to this continental, we have to believe. But don't listen to me. You know, read your scriptures. Read your scriptures. But this thing is full of information. I recommend, if you guys wanted to go online and just kind of look for it, Stella 5. It's a lot of information in there. I don't know why I choose this map, but if you see in the bottom, you know, it says the land of Lehi. That's where, it's almost where I'm from. It's Guerrero. That's where Lehi land, and the first immigration. And so that's where they found those rocks engraved. The tree of life is the pure life, is the pure love of God for his children and his gift of Jesus Christ. John 3:16, I just mentioned it right now. I didn't know I had it here. For God so loved the world that he gives his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. In Alma 16, verse 169 to 172. And thus it is, if ye will not nourish the word, looking forward with an eye of faith to be fruit thereof, you can never pluck of the fruit of the tree of life. We need to nourish. Every time we come to church, we nourish the word, and it grows, and it grows. That's why let's not other things keep us from coming to church or from reading. For reading the scriptures, or we will not be able to pluck of that fruit. But if ye will nourish the word, yea, nourish the tree as it's beginning to grow, by your faith with great diligence and with patience, it takes patience, looking forward to the fruit thereof, it shall take root, and behold, there shall be a tree springing into everlasting life. And because of your diligence and your faith and your patience with the word, and nourish it, that it may take root in you. And behold, by and by, you shall pluck the fruit thereof, which is the most precious, which is sweet above all that is sweet, and which is white above all that is white. Isn't that what he saw in his dream? And pure above all that is pure. And you shall feast upon this fruit, even until ye are filled, that ye hunger not, neither shall be thirst. So in Nephi 3:64, First Nephi 3:64, I'm going to have to open my book because I didn't have it there. It says, I'm going to read from 62-64. And the angel saying to me, behold, the Lamb of God, yea, even the Son of the Eternal Father, knowest now the meaning of the tree which thy father saw? And I answered him and saying, yes, yeah, it is the love of God which shed itself abroad in the hearts of the children of men. Wherefore, it is the most desirable above all things. Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That is my point that I want to make, that it's going to take us a long time, but if we do to the end, we will be able to partake of the fruit of life and be with Christ and his kingdom. At last, I am home. In Revelations, it says that there's a tree right in the middle of the city. This is one of the vision of John. And I believe that that is our goal. That is our pay. Like he said, those who endure to the end will inherit the crown, a golden crown. He that had ear, let him hear what the Spirit say in Revelation 2:7. And into the churches, to him that overcome will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. I am the Alpha and Omega, Revelation 22:13. The beginning and the end, the first and the last. And then John 1:2 says the same was in the beginning with God. Christ was in the beginning. You know, you remember when it says, let us make man in our image. There was two persons talking there, not just one. So he was from the beginning and he is at the end. If we endure, like Brother Stephen says, God always wins. If we listen, we will be with him and we will be able to partake of the most precious, sweet, and white fruit that Lehi saw. In Hebrews 12:22 says, but ye are come into the mountain Zion and into the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. And to an innumerable company of angels. Remember what I said about this book, that you, all these angels come and receive you when you're about to arrive in the city. I picture myself seeing people that I know as I'm coming to receive me, to receive you. So we need to stay awake and listen to the words, what God says. It's 15 minutes or 20. 15 minutes. So still awake. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We need to have the faith. We need to hear. We need to stay awake, alert, that nothing will bring us down. No matter what our life is going through, if we look forward to what is waiting for us, we will make it. I thank you for your time, and I'm sorry about all this. I might have to get a new computer. But I appreciate the time, and I'm so thankful, like Brother Andy, to be here and to be able to present this, because I am so glad. This is a really good opportunity that God has given me, and I cannot retreat. I have to keep going forward like we all do. We have to keep going forward. Thank you for your time, and I pray that this was a blessing for you this night. Thank you so much.